Welcome back to The Fast Break, Season 2, Episode 7, the final episode of our free agency offseason recap. Today we're going to be going over the multitude of point guards that signed in new locations this offseason. So Aaron, who do you want to start with? I guess the biggest news is Chris Paul re-signing to the Suns.
Yeah, I'd say that would be the biggest one, especially after making it to the finals last year. He did stay with his team, but this is a really big contract and he's going to be really old. Like, I don't have his current age, but he has to be like, what, 36, 37 at the end of this contract. And getting paid what, like $30 million a year at 38 years old. Like, that's just something that you can't, always plan on. So a lot of people were expecting a 1-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal, even a 3-year deal, but no one expected 4 years. And it's good for him, definitely. It's just the downside on the team is that's 4 years when you're not sure how good he's going to be. If you remember, he declined a $44 million player option, which would made him one of the like top 10 highest paid players in the league. But it was only for 1 year, so he definitely realized that he could have fallen off this year and definitely took a chance getting more money in the long run, even though less per year.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. I feel like for the Suns, though, if you're going to give this money to a guy that would be 39 years old when the deal is up, Chris Paul is the right guy to give it to. I think his play style, I don't think he'll ever – I think he will get worse. I don't think he'll get drastically worse. So I think he'll still be a very solid NBA player by the time this deal is up. And it was a calculated risk, but a smart one. He probably knew he was going to get a 3 or 4 year deal from Phoenix. He said that's where he wants to stay. By declining a $45 million option for 1 year, he was very confident. Him and his agent knew they were going to get more in the long run. And he probably figured I could take that $45 million, but then get a 2-year deal worth maybe $50 million. I think I'm going to get more in the long run by going 4 years, 120. So I think this helps Phoenix. I don't think they return to the NBA Finals, but I think they have another very solid year.
Yeah, I think if we want to talk about gameplay, not just money and contracts, like I think – it's important to the Suns to re-sign him, but I think that they can be good for a while. And Chris Paul, he's not the most athletic player in the league. He uses his height to his advantage, kind of a shifty passing guard, one of the greatest point guards of all time. And so him re-signing makes the Suns a contender for at least the next couple years. Devin Booker will only continue to improve. And several players took a little bit of reduced contract to stay with the team. You got Cameron Payne and Frank Kaminsky, and there's one other guy that I can't remember, but
Torrey Craig,
small re-signings that are just going to keep this core together and hopefully run it back next year. Although I'm not sure if that's necessarily going to happen because the West overall is just getting a lot better.
Yep. Let's run another top 10 point guard of all time, Dennis Schroeder.
Yep.
He obviously turned down that 4-year, $84 million deal with LA, and he lost himself about $80 million in the process by taking a 1-year, $5.9 million deal. I believe it's one of the multiple minimum deals that you can sign for a guy of his caliber. 1 year, he lost about $80 million in the process. So I'm sure he's fired his agent by now, but when you're a top 10 point guard of all time, you can do that and take these 1-year deals.
I was going to make the same joke, and then you completely blew it. I mean, obviously, he only cares about winning. There's reports that the Thunder were offering to go for the max veteran extension, but unfortunately, he was really dedicated to go to Boston because he knows that's the winning franchise. So taking a huge pay cut there at just around the minimum to be with a winning team.
I can't believe he turned down $25 million a year and gets $6 million. Oh, my goodness. I actually think he probably helps this team out. They don't really have a point guard, I guess, other than Peyton Pritchard. The Fast PP is his nickname. Oh, my
God. Where are we going?
I don't know. He put up like 92 points in the pro am, and everybody on Twitter is saying Fast PP, let's get it.
One of the best nicknames in the league, if we're being honest.
For real. All right. But honestly, I think do you think that deal helps them? I think it's not a great deal for him, but I think it's a good deal for Boston.
I mean, we've got that backcourt there with Schroeder and Pritchard. only to be rival with the Cavs Sexland backcourt. So our front backcourt. So we got the Eastern Conference with these really loaded guard lineups, and hopefully Schroeder can help his team here.
Yep. All right. Now moving on, Kyle Lowry goes to the Heat. I think we talked about them a little bit, talking about the Hawks. I think the Heat continue to make signings that will help them contend in the long run. We've seen Jimmy Butler has been able to make some dark horse playoff runs. Three-year, $90 million deal. Seems like a lot, but I think for a player of his age and his caliber, it's a good deal for the Heat and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler was also able to re-sign on a pretty big deal. The max that he's wanted for a while. Seems like he found the perfect team. And Kyle Lowry, another veteran, older player, coming to the Heat, and hopefully he can help them out because this is a team that had a lot of young players. I mean, Bam Adebayo is probably still classified as a younger player. Tyler Hero, obviously younger. You've got Kendrick Nunn leaving, unfortunately for them. But I think that Kyle Lowry is still probably not a top 10 point guard, but maybe in the top 15 or so. He's definitely older, but this will really help them. And I think they're going to be another one of the best teams in the East. We talked about the standings there earlier. I mean, unfortunately, the Hornets lost the Martin brothers, so they're probably out of the top four in the East. But but with the Heat probably are up there. Sixers might be up there. The Bulls, all these teams we've talked about in the past couple of days, really making a bit kind of bigger deals to improve the Eastern Conference. I mean, really all these deals other than Chris Paul are in the Eastern Conference. So although Schroeder's probably the most important one in terms of changing the standings, the Lowry one will bring some change to the Miami Heat organization.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. The Heat really, there's been a lot of roster fluctuation over the past few years, but it really just, it's kind of to stay afloat, staying around the 4-5 seed line. I think this team could win a playoff series at best, and at worst, probably lose in 5 or 6 games. I don't think they get much better or much worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're winning the finals. The East, it's always every team we talk about, the Nets just looming here with their absolute monstrosity over here, or over there, rather. But I think that they definitely can win a first-round series, maybe win two, depending on how the matchups work out. I'd be doubtful. But I think that the playoffs is their floor. Like, they could maybe make the play-in tournament, but I still think they're good enough to be in the top 8 seeds, or top 6, rather.
Yep. All right. Now moving on to the Knicks, who were the 4th seed last year. Kind of fluky, you could say, but they've made some moves to try to stay in the playoffs, kind of the revitalization of the Knicks and the Bulls. They get Kemba Walker, who was dealt from Boston, Oklahoma City, took a buyout there. I believe he actually left some money on the table so he could go home to New York from, I believe, the Bronx and Harlem area specifically. So Kemba Walker has some memorable moments at Madison Square Garden. We'll see what he can do in a full season there.
I mean, you spent couple years there with Kemba Walker as the lead guy in the Hornets. Seems like he's kind of fallen off a little. He's had some injury problems in the past couple of seasons, but that's really good for the Knicks. I mean, it seemed like a fluke last year, but they're going to be coming back this year with a kind of steady built team. I mean, they know what their identity is. They can be scrappy. I'm not sure if when you think of Kemba Walker, you think of Thibodeau making his team run sprints, but he's kind of more of a crafty type of flashy guard, scoring a lot of points, but we'll see if it can work with this Knicks team. Obviously haven't had a very good team in a while, but I think that they can definitely be in the playoffs again this year.
Yeah, I think Kemba Walker's a good fit here. They obviously also re-signed Julius Randle to a 4-year, $117 million deal. All-NBA second team for him, I believe. It's really interesting to see what could happen this year. I feel like he has got a very drastic ceiling and floor. I feel like he could also be an all-star once again or return. The guy just averages 15-6. So we'll see what happens. It's a better roster than last year, and they lost Reggie Bullock. But I think RJ Barrett will continue to improve. They've got Mitchell Robinson as the big of the future, and bringing Kemba Walker, who become a little more inefficient but can still score the ball in bunches. I think this team will be pretty good once again.
Yeah, I mean, you said exactly what I wanted to say. I mean, Julius Randle being second-team All-NBA was something we didn't expect, But at the same time, he was really good, and it's a really fair contract. I mean, to think that Trae Young not being an all-star signs 4 years, 215. Julius Randle almost half that much, second-team All-NBA. So it's a smaller deal, but he was really good, and I think it's a really fair deal at 20-something a year, which is probably just because he has a good chance of falling off a year. I mean, it was a COVID fluke year. He never got injured. And there's a chance he could fall back to the norm or the mean, but I'd say it's more likely that he ends up being good again. And although he's probably not an all-star because there's a lot of good players coming back, the Nets' big three probably are all stars. Warriors have Klay Thompson coming back, a couple other injury guys throughout the league that have chances. So I think that it's a fair contract. It's interesting to see what.
We're having mic issues over here.
We are having mic issues.
That's why I use the microphone. We've got the best voice in the podcasting game. Don't need a microphone to make this voice sound any better.
Very quality 5-year-old Chromebook you have
over there. Yeah, I know. I actually, you know, we're gonna plug the Loveland Schools tech deck here.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Here you go. Hey, $50 and get a new Lenovo Chromebook.
Is that your new one?
Return it at the end of the year, but you get free maintenance checks that they will keep it in the shop for 9 months for you. What go Loveland Tech Deck.
Remember in middle school and they would just like hire like random people to like tell you to reset your Chromebook and like taught you how to fix your wallpaper and did nothing?
Joey Thornberry.
Facts. That's exactly what I was thinking of. He like rolled around on a cart delivering Chromebooks. None of those people knew.
No idea what
nobody there knew what they were doing. They just like, let's try restarting it. And then people would come in with like a cracked screen. They'll be like, this will be about 2 weeks and then be 7 months later. You'd get your.
I figured out like if it wasn't a cracked screen, I'd do the same thing every time. I just figured it out. And I would just say, can I go to the tech desk so I can get out of class? And I'd just spend 25 minutes there messing around, restarting my computer six times.
Well, the tech desk person like doesn't even. That he didn't couldn't even do a lot of like physical fixes. They would like hire a guy to come down every month and like fix all the physical issues. So then like they would all get returned in like a week, but then you wouldn't get it for so long. And then they have the new guy here, Mr. Reed Crumley. I don't have any quarrels with him so far. He got both of my Chromebooks returned in a timely manner. So.
I have one quarrel if you want to use that.
Oh, okay,
word.
Go ahead. We're using
he wears
big words today.
The same clothing every day. He wears
that is true. He has the one like Tech Desk jersey. You remember that?
Tech Desk polo jersey no, <he does. laughs> with a big tie-dye tiger on the back of it.
No, he does. He wears this like it's like a hockey jersey or something.
Oh my goodness. All right, what have we done? This is supposed to be a point guard episode, and we've gone from fast pee-pee to the tech desk.
This is what the fans want, Ben.
I completely agree, but I think we've gone over all the point guards we want to go over. Would you like to talk about Addison Hearn and his future in the Loveland Tigers men's basketball program?
Addison Hearn has recently been caught entering a pro-am tournament, did not score 81 points, but we're not sure how he's doing. What do you see the future of Addison in the Loveland program?
Yeah, well, you know, that's very true. Him and Bailey Jackson were caught. The soccer coach and football coach were not excited that they were in season performing in a pro-am tournament. I think it's a good development, especially for the Tigers program, that we've still got some of our stars interested in the future of basketball. But for the other sports at their school, it's not great. Then our football program has won one game in the past 4 years, and our players are playing in pro-am tournaments on the side.
The coaching in Loveland High School is also coming to dismay with the assistant coach leaving. Do you think that has led to Addison and Bailey's decisions to maybe not return potentially?
It seems like Coach Knott was a very likable guy. We'll have to see.
But now that he's left and only Coach Reese remains, do you think that there are some chemistry issues with the Loveland High School basketball team?
It depends on who they hire. You know, this is probably out of all the eight coaching NBA decisions, this is wherever the Tigers go and hiring their assistant coach is the most important decision I think we've seen in maybe the past 6 years for any 5-6 years.
Do you expect a promotion within the program or outside?
A hot take. We got my hot take is Nick Harding gets the promotion from seventh grade.
No, I thought he was like contemplating quitting, and then they brought him back.
Did you? I mean, I could see Stan McCoy coming out of retirement.
Stan McCoy for assistant varsity coach. Well, the middle school now has separate B teams for seventh and eighth grade. It's not one combined. And the LIS psychologist is actually the seventh grade B team coach. I got to know him through coaching the first and second graders.
Mr. Noah Gilbert.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah. I actually like him. I'm expecting a promotion to him from him.
I could see possibly there's interest in that. Spurs assistant Becky Hammon is interested in the job too. So we could see
it'd be a real upgrade to her coming to an assistant varsity program. Unfortunately, we have not had years of success. But if we can get a return from Addison and Bailey, who knows? We also can mention the chemistry issues coming from Braden Fritch, who has a lot of questions, has been seen arguing with the coaching staff in recent open gyms regarding his ability or his willingness to shoot.
Yeah, he also has some very distraught anger with some of his teammates. Also posting some cryptic messages on Instagram recently. Just this morning, he posted on his story a poll saying, should your girlfriend be allowed to have male best friends? Very interesting message there from Braden Fritch. Not sure what the intent of that was. But
regarding his personal life, he works at the Loveland Canoe and Kayak Shop and claims this is why he cannot attend Loveland basketball open gyms. However, I've seen him during marching band privately working out.
Supposedly having all-stars from Taft and other inner-city schools. We'll see what happens. He's also he's been late multiple times and refuses to do the towel runs, insisting that Coach Barry does them for him. So we will see. We will see what happens.
It seems he thinks he's above the rest of the program. Seems like a very stereotypical high school bully, and unfortunately, he likes to boss people around. And just because Coach Barry is shorter than him doesn't mean that he can pick on people his own size. So
indeed. And the last development of the day is reported that Dylan Wise has received yet another tattoo, making that three.
Actually,
one for each of his high school years. By the time he's a senior, he'll have the new one on his thigh. The message has not been decoded yet, but we will.
Was his second one after the turtle?
Yeah, the turtle, and he's got the 100 emoji on his wrist.
True, I forgot about that.
It's faded, but we'll see what happens.
Sure, that's a legitimate tattoo.
I believe it's legitimate. Yes.
All right. Well,
you'll have to have some more investigative journalism. I'm sure I'll learn how to do that in my class starting this Wednesday.
Another breaking news: Ben Hicks' hood tendencies were increased by 150% after receiving double ear piercings. Are you planning to tape those up or remove them before every practice?
They will be taped up, giving me +15 street cred badge. And then the hoodie bend tendency will also be increased to 100.
Yeah, gotta cinch that hoodie up to create the intimidator badge for his opponents.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that is the recent breaking news updates. That we'll start with the point guard episode. But I think that's all we got for today. It was a good free agent week. And as we get more news on the future of Tigers basketball in the backcourts of Sexland and Fast Pee Pee Schroeder, we'll continue to update you.
All right.